Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, right. Long time no see. Where is everybody? It's good to see you. Thank you, Caleb.
This is great. Couldn't see you when we were just watching on YouTube or whatever. We couldn't really see you very well unless you came up and I go, "Oh, there's John. Oh, there's Madeline. Oh, there's you know."
Yeah.
There they are. Oh, there they are. Okay.
So we're standing in our little apartment down there, and we were in Panama City, Florida, and Panama City Beach, actually. Be literal. And we're worshiping in our apartment every Sunday morning with you guys on TV. And we're calling out and hollering and having a good time. But the hard part was when somebody would speak from the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't hear a word. And I kept waiting on you know, the speaker up here to repeat what they said, but they didn't. So we missed those moments. But we didn't miss.
So if you say anything, we're going to repeat it.
Yeah, there you go. So anyhow, we're glad to be here. It's Testimony Sunday. We've already heard a couple testimonies. You'll see how amazing Sue's was in terms of the spirit of what the Lord put on us to share in a few minutes. May have you come up here and join us, actually. So we're starting a little later than I thought. So we're going to go to 11:45, whether people are aware of that or not. And that's the way it's going to be this morning, because we have something to say. We want to talk about testimonies and the power of testimony. For those of you who don't know us, we pastored this church for, I think, 15 years on and off in one way or another. And we stepped down a few years ago, but we still continue to serve as elders. And my wife, Elizabeth, has directed the children's ministry for many years. And so we're very much a part of this community. One thing I want to say, I'm going to float a little here. Something we realized, we ended up ministering to a fair number of people down in Florida. It wasn't quite on our agenda exactly that way, but it happened. Something I noticed was that people that we were meeting that were in large churches, and I'm not faulting large churches for this, but what they didn't have was a sense of real community. There was not a deep connection community thing going on in a lot of their lives. And I felt that some of the issues that we ended up praying with them about or just kind of catching, and sometimes we get words of knowledge or something that would kind of speak into their lives. And it dawned on me, I think they wouldn't have that issue if they had a closer knit community that they were part of. How many know God loves family? And our families are often not what they should be. Let's just be honest. We fall short as human beings of a family. I've had that experience in my own life. But he has a family. He calls us his children. Part of his love is that he brings us into his family and gives us the Spirit of God by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. And as we do that, not just with God, because that's what a lot of people get that idea, but with each other, to know that we have brothers and sisters who really are brothers, sisters, and sisters in the Spirit of God. That is huge. That is really a huge and very precious thing. So I just want to start with that. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, or should we get going on what we're supposed to talk about?
Well, when he was talking about Father God and how he loves us, because that's part of what Sue was talking about there, I just wanted to give a testimony of when my father passed away. He died of a brain tumor situation a number of years ago, and I sang at his funeral. Now, if you sing at someone's service, you're not going to actually be able to go through the grieving process right there, because obviously if you're sobbing, you're not going to be able to sing. And so I hadn't even thought of that. But I wasn't able to really grieve that day. And so it ended up being sort of postponed. And months later, I went to a conference, a Christian conference, where they were ministering the love of the Father. But I just began to weep and weep and weep and weep. And it was such a blessing, because when I went up to get ministry from Francis McNutt and his wife, there was someone well-meaning. As I was standing in line, I was just sobbing. And this woman was like, "Oh, dear. Oh, would you like a Kleenex here?" You know, and actually Francis stopped her. It was wonderful. He said, leave her alone. And I was like, thank you. You know, because you just wanted to express that sadness and you didn't want to stop it up. And I felt like she was doing that without, you know, she didn't mean to, but it was like, let's clean this up, let's tidy this up. Oh, you poor thing. And he was just like, let her sob, you know. And when I went back to my seat, I was crying out to God and saying, why? I was doing this pretty much silently, but I was crying out to God and just saying, my Father, this was when my Father and I had been so close the last 10 years of his life, much closer than ever before. And I really felt like years were being robbed from me of his dying so soon. And I said, I don't have a father anymore. I don't have a father anymore. And Father God just laid it on my heart and said, yes, you do. And then he said, I'm with you 24/7. And I just, it was so real to me that it really ministered to me powerfully. And so that father thing, I mean, I had a father who was very well-meaning, but actually he loved hunting and fishing and he wanted a boy. He tried 3 times with my mom and got 3 girls. And as my sister said in one short story, my mother got out all the blue baby clothes and then put them away again 3 times, you know? And so he didn't know what to do with us. It was like, it's a girl. I don't know what to do with a girl. I wanted a boy. I wanted a boy to go fish. And he tried each one of us to go fishing and stuff with him. And, you know, he said to me, now when you catch something, this is what you say to a boy, I guess. When you catch something, now you're going to clean it. And I was like, I hope I don't catch anything. That sounds really gross. I don't want to do that. Ooh, you know. And so anyway, we all failed that test. And so, you know, I had a love for my father. He had a love for us. He did wonderful things for us. But there wasn't a real bond there until later on in my life when he would ask me. I remember after I married Tom and we'd been married for a couple of years, my father just went on a walk with me and said, so how is your life going? I mean, who says that? He said, are you happy? How's it going? You know, and I was like, yeah, it's going well. But he had never asked me that kind of thing before. And that was a new kind of closeness. So that's the kind of Father God we have. He's asking all the time, how are you doing? You want to ask me anything? Do you need any help? You know, want any guidance? You know, he's just, I love you. I love you. You know, I just, when I write in my journal and I ask the Lord, what do you want to say to me? It almost always starts out with, I love you. Sort of like, I want to remind you, I love you. So, you know, yeah, as Sue said, you just ask the Lord and he will speak those things into your heart.
Yeah, amen. So I felt that we just got asked to do this just in the last couple of days, so didn't pray too much into it, but I really felt like I was supposed to talk a little bit about testimony itself. What we use the word testimony in church, and as if everybody knows what we're talking about, but you may or may not, and there's sort of different aspects of it. So we just want to talk a few minutes about that. But as we were singing this morning, there is no one like our God. That refrain just kept going over and over and over in my head. And as I listened to it, I was reminded of a story about ancient Israel. As some of you know, we've been there quite a few times over the years. On one of the trips, we went to a museum, and they were showing a little video about the history of the temple. And they talked about 3 wonders of the ancient world, specifically with regard to Israel. The first was that they had a sea filled with salt, that if you swam in it, you floated up on top, and that's a totally unique body of water out there in the Middle East. The second was that they didn't work on the Sabbath, that they had one day set aside for God and for worship. That was so unique in the ancient world that, I mean, it was totally unheard of. It was so amazing. When the Romans invaded Israel, they complained that the Jews were lazy and indolent and didn't care because they took a whole day off every week, and they just didn't understand it, you know. But the third wonder of the ancient world was that they had a temple in which there were no images or idols, which in all the world was totally unique. And it was underscoring that the God we serve and the God that we love, unlike gods who are represented as idols or unlike anything you may make into your God, our God can't be represented. He can't be painted on the wall. He can't be represented. Now, we do art here and we do represent him, so don't make this into a new religion. But the point I want to make is the essence of the God of Israel was that you knew him by his presence. In the tabernacle and in the temple, they had the Ark of the Covenant. Some of you may remember that. And it had a couple of cherubs on either side, and it was called the seat. Give me the word.
Mercy seat.
Thank you. The mercy seat. And that's where he dwelled in presence. He was a fire by night and a cloud by day. He was there in presence. And the whole story of the Bible is a testimony about the reality and the nature of the God that we serve. This is a God that can't be molded in hands, but dwells with us in life, that he's present to our life. And that's what makes our faith distinctive from all other faiths in the world. And so God himself has given us his scripture, his word, as his testimony of who he is. And then more than that, he imparts into us the ability to go and represent him to the world. And that becomes our testimony of how God has changed our life. And then the power of our testimony to others draws them to the God that they can't see, that the God that they thought maybe didn't care about them, my story is I thought God was like so far out in outer space that he really didn't care about little old me down here. And then finally one day somebody said, no, he's closer to you than, he put it as your jugular vein. He said, he's closer to you than your blood. He's in your blood. And I suddenly melted at that, because I had always imagined him far off and not able to care about me, really, because he was too busy running the whole world and the universe, right? So that's kind of a bit about the God that we serve. And that's what
it is. So we were talking about it. For me, the words faith and testimony are both difficult words. Faith was always tough for me, because I always thought you had to muster it up or something. What is this faith thing? It was like this nebulous thing that was sort of like, I don't know, how do I get it? Where do I, you know? And finally, I realized it was actually choosing to trust. That's a lot of what faith is. It's just choosing to trust. And so testimony is also choosing to testify. It's like, you know, can I hear someone testify to what God has done for them? You know, that would be a normal thing to do in a Pentecostal church. Can I hear a testimony? Can I hear someone to testify, please? Testify. You know, everybody pops up, because everybody has something that God's done for them, unless they're there visiting and are atheists and are trying to figure out what this is. So, you know, there's the personal testifying. I'm going to not say testimony. There's personally testifying what God has done for you, like before you knew Jesus, how you got to know Jesus, and what's happened ever since you got to know and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So that's the personal testifying. Then they're personally testifying about what's happened when, say, you prayed for somebody and they got healed, or you spoke a word of knowledge. I got to do this down in Florida. A bunch of young people came around me while I was playing the harp, and I played individual songs for them, but I was just getting words of knowledge for each one of them. You know, like I'd say to one of them, there was one who looked a little bit like Leah. Her face was sort of like, she had a really pretty bathing suit too. Anyway, I said to her, you know, you have wisdom, and you have life experience. And some people don't understand that, but you have a gift to give other people. And they were like, that's exactly who she is, you know. And then I just do it for each one of them. My God was just blessing me. So you have personal testifying like that. I could give a word to somebody. And then you have testifying that other people have done, you know, like when Doug Stanton came through here, or Drake Travis more recently, you know, when he was talking about things that had happened that he's seen or he had heard about directly from the person who saw it, someone raised from the dead, someone literally walking on water. We heard those things, for those of you who were here, we heard them in here. And Elizabeth Austin, have to remember her. She had amazing testimonies of things that had happened with her that I think a lot of us who saw her before she passed away always will remember. So those are different ways to do it. It's how God, they're God stories. They're God stories.
So boiled down, a testimony is just a story. It's a story about an experience. And if you think of it in the court of law, a testimony is a story that either is support, it brings evidence for something or against something. And so if you put together those thoughts, the testimony that of God that we speak of, the testimony of God working in our lives that we dwell on, is our evidence for the existence of this God who you can't represent with idols and statues and paintings on a wall, but the God who dwells with us, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what's distinctive about our faith. This is really important. It's more important than people realize, because the world right now is in a big mishmash of different things to worship. It's one God versus another God. It's one religion versus another religion. And secular progressivism, what they do is they say, well, they're all equal. Now, they're all religious. But you have to wonder, well, how did they arrive in this point up here where they could declare all these other religions were equal? What set them above all the religions? And when I talk to friends about what they think God is, they say, well, all gods lead to the same thing. And I said, really? All religions lead to the same place? I said, would you like to go to some? Let me tell you about some of the places that some of the other religions I've encountered go to. Is that the same? Is that where you'd like to really go and end up? You know, I spent a lot of time in looking into Buddhism at one point. And, you know, Buddhism, people think, oh, it's all about peace and they don't kill any sentient being. Well, that's their premise. That's true enough. But do you know what they also say? They say you have to go through countless lifetimes to arrive at Buddhahood. I mean, by countless, I mean myriad. That's like millions, eons. You have to go round and around in this cycle of suffering in order to arrive at Buddhahood. Anybody want to get on that train today? Is that where you want to end up? I mean, you know, it's just things like that. Islam, I spent a lot of time studying Islam. I studied with a sheikh and everything. And he was all full of God's love. And then he said at the end, he said, yeah, but, you know, actually what's going to happen at the end is the world's going to fall into this terrible mess, and it's only those who submit to Allah who will prevail in the end. And he even told a prophecy he'd heard that some Western nation was going to completely convert to Islam. And he thought maybe it was America. He was from Turkey. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my gosh, he's here hoping that we'll listen to him and become that nation that converts to Islam so that we can submit to Allah. You know, all of this. I mean, I'm telling you, these religions don't lead to the same place, not even close. There is no God like our God. There is no God like our God. And we're in a time and season right now when we're being called on to stand up and be accounted for. You know, we're in a season, the pressures that are happening out there, it's time to say what you believe. One of the reasons we're in the mess is because people sat back so comfortably for so long and not said what they believe and not wanted to share the truth of their faith and not wanted to bring forward, I don't care how little your testimony is. It can be, I woke up this morning and I was so happy to be alive And I just am so grateful to God. That's my testimony today. It doesn't have to be a grand story. It just has to be a true story. It doesn't have to be an elaborate story. It just has to be a story of how you feel connected to your Father, how you feel connected to your brother Christ. He says, you know, I call you friends. It just has to speak from a sincere place of your identity in Christ. And then it begins to acquire power. And so there's a scripture, it was already quoted, Brian mentioned it earlier. It's Revelations 12:10, 10 and 11. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's not the one I wanted to do. I lost it there. Anyhow, it's scripture where we overcome by the power of his blood and the word of our testimony. By the power of his blood. So as long as our testimonies are connected somehow to the Spirit, the blood of Christ is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit in us. We live and breathe and have our being in Christ because we experience his Spirit like a heartbeat in us. And that's the overcoming power, but the word of our testimony is essential to communicate to others. Others have to know and see and understand that God is real.
There is another aspect of this, though. This is the only instance I have of this, but I'll say it. when my father was dying. There was a whole month where we were all taking care of him. My two sisters and I and my mom were all taking care of him. I was getting prayer every morning from a woman that I had ministered to years before, and she had gotten the victory in Jesus, and now she was ministering to me, which I consider to be part of the health of the body. That you minister to some, you know, I minister to Steve one day, and then a year later, Steve finds himself ministering to me. He finds himself praying for me. He finds himself assuring me of God's presence and his love. So that's what was happening with this woman. It was so cool. She said, well, I could speak to you every morning. I could pray for you every morning before you go over to be with your dad. And so I was doing that. And so my sisters, after my father passed away, evidently they had a conversation. One of them, I think, is still an atheist. The other one is a believer, but as she puts it, not like you. So anyway, they were having a conversation about why was Jordy the way she was? She was different than we were. What was that? And they finally decided it was my faith, they said. I was like, wow, I'm impressed. So, you know, and that was the support of my sister in Christ. It was Jesus being with me all the time. I had my scriptures with me all the time. I mean, I don't know that they brought scriptures, certainly not the one who doesn't believe at all. And so I thought, wow, if I didn't have that, if I didn't have God with me, I wouldn't be able to be strong in this situation and be loving and patient.
So just a couple little testimones. There are lots of ways to think about testimonies. We like to say in church, bring a fresh testimony, something that just happened, so that we know God's alive today. But there are also testimonies from 20 years ago in your lives that are still powerful, that sort of carry an anointing, if you will. But in the realm of recent testimonies, so we fly off to Florida, in mid-January. We were so grateful to get down there. It was so nice. I mean, they said it was the coldest winter season anybody could remember, but for us, it was like, this was like manna. It was like honey from heaven, you know. It was just so nice to be out there on the beach with our overcoats on, walking along, listening to the ocean. So we flew down, and we the arrangement was Brian and Hannah were going to drive our car down, and we would have the car, and then they were going to fly back. And that spared us having to fly. So we get down there, and then Brian caught the COVID and was sick, and that was the 1 week out of the whole schedule that they could drive our car down. So suddenly we were without a car. Well, we could have rented a car, but the truth is we couldn't afford it. So we decided we would just go without a car for the next 2 months. You should try it. I thought it was going to be difficult. By the end of our 2 months, we had people sort of stumbling over themselves to volunteer to come and pick us up and take us places. We met more people. We ended up in Bible studies at churches, in people's homes. People took us, they came and picked us up to take us to dinner. We ordered our food in from Walmart. They just delivered it to our door whenever we wanted it. We didn't have to go out and fight the crowd. I mean, it was incredible. And since I was busy writing a book, which I hope to be sharing soon, it's called Messiah in Our Time. And I'm very excited about it. I think it'll be an interesting book for a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to, I've got two more chapters to go, but I'm hoping and believing by the end of June I will have a first draft copy, which I'm thinking of maybe holding some evenings where I'll just read from it and welcome people to sort of see what you think. But in any case, I wouldn't have written that book if we'd had a car, because we would have been going around, you know, driving here and driving there. There were some beautiful parks. We knew about a church an hour away that we wanted to go see. We had military jets flying all over. There were Air Force, military training stuff going on every day. I wanted to go see where they were coming from. I'd have driven down and sat at the end of the runway because I love to watch military jets. It's one of my things. But it was just amazing what we did without a car. So if you're in that position, you know, we just were dependent on God. We said, Lord, here we are. You know, we can't afford to go rent a car for 2 months. So make a way. And he did. What about any, well, you talked about some of those other ones. You know, we met a couple on the beach. He turned out to be living in the condo right next door to ours. He had stage 4 cancer, and he ends up going into a nosedive while we're there. And so we had an opportunity to minister to this guy multiple times. I mean, I was literally processing end-of-life issues with him for a week before he got so bad that he had to go into the ICU. They had to fly him back by air ambulance to Vermont and so on. But we had this incredible time, and this man, he was struggling with the failures of his life, and we processed that together, and it was just an amazing gift to be able to minister to that. All of these things just literally came to us. We didn't have to drive around to find them, you know. So that's one of the wonders that God does. But now, just to close out, I want to touch on an older testimony. That Francis and Judith McNutt that my wife mentioned earlier, they had a healing ministry. His wife still does. He's passed on now. We used to go to their trainings for healing prayer and learn how to do this 25, 35 years ago, I guess it was even. We were at a session once up in Rutland, Vermont. They had a group called Fishnet, and they did a training on healing there, but the particular event, they came in and said, we feel that we're supposed to speak today and minister the Father love of God, about the Father's love for us. And they did this, just talked about his love for probably 20, 30 minutes, which we don't have time to do today, but we've already had a touch of this from a number of angles, including Sue's word there and some of the songs. And when it was over, people were weeping all over the room. And I had never experienced the love of the Father, the love of God as a loving Father like that in my life. We were just completely broken by it. And there were healings. People got healed. They wept, appreciating God's love, and that an arm or a leg or whatever their problem was would get healed. It was just amazing to see that. And so that was sort of, for me, a definitive moment in my life where I realized, oh, there's a whole lot more to this than a Bible and scripture. There's an experience of God's presence and love that is all-surpassing, that really reaches to our core. So we were driving home from Rutland, and at that time I had an office here and a secretary downtown, and her son, she had a little baby, and the baby, one day, he couldn't breathe very well, and she thought he had a cold or something. He took him to the doctor, and the doctor realized there was a tumor on his stomach, and it was pressing up against the lungs, and that's why he couldn't breathe. So they rushed him that very day up to University Hospital up in Syracuse, and they found this enormous cancerous tumor. It was actually attached to his liver. He was up there in the ICU, the ICU, for maybe 4 months, 5 months. before we went off to this conference. We came back from that conference driving, and we were so overflowing with the love of God in us and the Father, just a sense of the Father's love for us. It came on me, I'm running a business, I'm a business guy, I don't pray for healing, you know, none of that, but I was overwhelmed. I said, I think we got to go up and see baby Glenn. Let's just stop on the way back. I didn't even want to come home. I wanted to go see this little baby that I knew was having this problem. So we did. We stopped at the hospital.
I have to say, you called. He had called and talked to the nurse there, and she said, well, are you family? And he said, no. And she said, well, I can't really tell you much then. He said, well, we're thinking of coming today. And she said, I think you better come today.
Yeah. She said, you better come fast. Because of his condition. So we got there, and my secretary and her husband were there, and they brought us in. And here was this little tiny baby. He'd been in the hospital so long, he had a rash, like he'd gotten some germs from the hospital, and it broke out in his body. It was all red and sort of rash. His tummy was greatly swollen. He had not been awake for several days, 4 or 5 days. Not been awake. He was in a coma for several days. He had trouble breathing. They had a breathing thing on him and everything else. And his temperature was running around 105 degrees. It was on a digital thermometer. This is the condition. So he's motionless. Tiny little baby, all red. It was really hard. I mean, I had not been in a hospital like ever doing anything like this. All I knew was my Father in heaven loves me, and he loves this baby too. And so I said, like, I couldn't believe it. I was saying to my secretary, can I lay hands on him and pray? Yeah, do whatever you can. You know, they were desperate because this baby was on his last legs. So I put my hand on his swollen liver area, and I didn't know what to pray. I just said, Father, just heal this baby, Father. Just heal this baby. I don't even really remember what I said. All I know is, as I did this, this little digital thermometer dropped 2 degrees. It just went down 2 whole degrees. The Father reached over and he starts tapping. He said, something's wrong with the thermometer. He says, I don't know what's going on here. Something's wrong with the thermometer. And his wife says, no, the temperature just dropped 2 degrees. And so we prayed some more. Jordy was actually in the outer room, and we had an older woman that had gone to us to the conference with us who went in with me. They only allowed 2 of us in to pray. And this older woman was very experienced, blah, blah, and she just wanted to go in. And so we said, okay, she'll go in, and I went in because it was my secretary. Well, that little baby Glenn, now I'd love to say that the swelling went down, but it didn't. I'd love to say the rash came off, but it didn't. But so we left and went on home, and within a day or two, she called and she said, he's moving. Oh, the one other thing he did while I was praying, I forgot that. He was like this. He started, you know how little babies have these motions like they're in the womb and they're kind of swimming? You know, have you ever seen a little baby do that? They're kind of just going like this. He started doing that while my hand was on his liver, and I was like, blown away. I'd forgotten that detail. So the secretary calls me. She said, the tumor's going down. It's shrinking. And it kept shrinking. She called me every day, and she said, it's getting smaller and smaller. And then it got down to this little thing, and the doctors went in, and they just cut it off his liver because they didn't want anything on the liver itself. And the liver in a baby, it repairs itself very quickly. I don't know if you know that. The liver is a very repairable organ. So it was no problem to take out a chunk of the liver, and he grew up, and the last I heard from him, he was 18 years old and playing on a baseball team out in Trumansburg. Baby Glenn, totally restored. But I didn't go in there so much with the idea of healing, except I thought, I got to try this. I went in there sensing the love of God. And that's where every testimony comes from, whether it's the love of Christ, whether it's the love of God, or maybe you're connected to the Holy Spirit in a special intuitive way. That's available. Every one of you has not only a testimony, but you have that power that will come through your testimony. Remember, it's not your testimony that ultimately makes the difference. It's the Spirit of God that will come into the person through your testimony. However they receive your testimony, it's always goes back to God. You know, so don't make your testimony into your God thing. It's just your story. But your story carries power when the blood of Christ is mixed in with it. Amen? So we want to draw to a close now. And I think what we want to do, I'm going to just...
Why don't we...
Okay. So we're going to do something a little out of the box to close. This will take... We'd love to just minister. We'll be happy to continue if anybody's feeling this. We need a night of this. We need a night, a healing night. We need a healing night with the presence of God. I think we need that. Part of what I think the Lord wants to heal right now is anxiety. I had a whole thing. I want to go an hour. We can't do that, right? Can't do that.
No.
I'll be busted. They'll never let me have the microphone again.
That's right.
Okay. So we'll just have to come back. Okay, so I just want to release that Abba Father, we thank you, Lord. Just receive this. Father, we thank you. You don't have to put your hands out. I mean, you can, and I like that, but don't make that a religion, all right? God knows where your heart is. Okay, so Father God, I just thank you, Lord. Father, you said that it was better that Jesus, you said that it was better that you go back because then the Comforter would come. Mm-hmm. And today, Lord, I just pray with gratitude that your Comforter is here with us and that you are here with us. And Father God, your love is surrounding us. You are embracing each one of us right now. That we can turn to you when we don't know who else to turn to. And you are there. You are here. And Father, I just pray that any anxiety that's crept into anyone's heart in the past couple months through the events, any fears, just that feeling of uncertainty, not knowing what we would do without a car for 2 months, and we had the best time we'd ever could imagine. Father, that kind of confidence, Lord, Father, I just pray that you instill in each one here a sense of your closeness. Your word says, resist the devil, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We know the devil's playing out there, but our God is greater. There's no one like our God, no other God in heaven or on earth like our God. And right now, I want to speak for anybody who may have experienced rejection or abuse from an authority figure. I'll speak for fathers, and Elizabeth will speak for mothers. And I just want to say that I'm going to stand in for that person that never could apologize, never could admit they're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm saying I'm sorry for that abuse. I'm sorry for the condemnation, the criticism, the judgment. I'm sorry for the physical abuse, the emotional abuse. I'm far sorry even for the sexual abuse. I'm sorry that I didn't know what I was doing, and I ask you to forgive me. And if you can't forgive me, release me. And turn to your Father in heaven, because I know he loves you more than I ever knew how.
Yeah, and I ask the same. I stand in the place of any woman, whether it was your mother or a female teacher who was abusive, who was neglectful, who in any way hurt you, and I say, I'm sorry. I pray that you will forgive me and walk in the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ and in the Father's love, which is all surpassing, and loves with a father and a mother kind of love. It's that cuddly love and also the strong love and all the other aspects of love that comes from a parent. Thank you, Jesus. So we praise you and bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.